fighting for America.
And I think I need not remind anyone on this committee, like any American, Sergeant Bergdahl has rights, and his conduct will be judged on the facts, not political hearsay, posturing, charges, or innuendo.
Fighting for Idaho.
Hoping for the sake of the family that you all will go away and leave the family alone, let the process work, and let them get back to their normal lives.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, we cannot go on like this with nothing except speculation up in the media. I mean, he deserves better. We deserve better.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I appreciate the chance to be with you again, brother. I look forward to being back out in Idaho. Thanks, Semper Fi.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. We're joined by Neil Custer, private investigator. Neil, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
So you were in the paper the other day.
Well, yeah. And my picture, too.
I know. Does that does that do your business any good if people know who you are?
Well, it always helps. Yeah.
I thought you guys were always undercover.
Well, sometimes you I've got a staff that I can maintain some anonymity with.
Well, I was going to say, you know, when most of us think of private investigators, we think of Jim Rockford, mm-hmm. we think of Magnum PI, we think of what we see on television. Now, let me ask you, how accurate are those shows when it comes to being a private investigator?
Well, everything they can accomplish in a half hour, an hour, and we take a little bit longer. They take a lot of shortcuts that we can't take, but they're obviously made to entertain, and sometimes what we do is very tedious and not as exciting, and we don't usually get the girl.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I still marvel at Jim Rockford, $200 a day plus expenses.
Yeah.
So that's a good gig if you can get it.
Right, yep.
Well, let's talk a little bit about why people hire private investigators.
Well, it's usually a range of problems. Our probably our largest target market are attorneys, and it's usually an attorney because one of their clients has a problem that they need to have solved. And so sometimes we work with corporations, individuals, but oftentimes there's an attorney involved, and it can be range anything from a domestic issue to industrial espionage of some kind, loss of proprietary information from companies, thefts, embezzlements, those kind of things.
Well, what about you, and what about the idea of, which was in the paper the other day, that your cell phone can actually be used against you?
That's correct. There's so-called spyware out there sold as security applications that would allow you to turn your smartphone basically into a bugging device if it was used on somebody else's phone that you were trying to intercept some of their information.
And how prevalent is that today?
Well, who knows? I mean, we run into it now and then just because a client's concerned that somebody's been listening in, and we're able to, you know, check and see if there is. Usually the solution to that problem is just do a factory reset on your phone, and it'll wipe out any nefarious applications that might be on your phone.
What about the idea of infidelity? How much do you handle that, and how prevalent is it in our society today?
It is significantly prevalent. I would say that 25% of our business is infidelity cases, some type of concern about a spouse, a significant other, somebody else's their brother, their sister, whatever. They're trying to help them identify whether they're being cheated on.
Well, what are some of the signs?
Well, I always tell people to pay attention to their gut feeling that there's something different. Something like the person's all of a sudden paying more attention to their appearance, or they have lame excuses for their absence. they're starting to work late, just different things like that.
We like to dress up for work more, something
right,
breaking a pattern.
Dress up for work. They're starting to use perfume / shaving lotion or something to make themselves more.
I don't think you'd ever have to worry about that. Me here about that. again, it's interesting though when we think of how your business has changed at 580K Ideal. When somebody comes in to you and says, I need you to find out about my spouse and whether or not they're true to me. That's, you're looking at it from a professional point of view, but it's an emotional decision for a spouse to hire you to do this. There's always probably fear that they're going to be discovered. And, you know, if you can address that a little, or if you're going, that you're going to be discovered and, you know, trust is broken. How do you address that? I mean, being a professional, when people come in, I mean, they do movies about you guys.
Right. Well, the first thing I do is to try to explain to them that if they were they're looking to what they want the end result to be, if they're looking for it for evidence of a divorce, the courts really don't care if there's infidelity involved. There might be an issue if there's children involved, or there may be some financial things, but as far as infidelity, it's a no-fault divorce state. And so I try to make that clear. I says, if you're just trying to find evidence for a divorce, then...
That doesn't matter in court.
The courts don't care. And so being a no-fault divorce state, that's going to happen. Now, the second step of that process is then if you simply just want to know whether your spouse is cheating or there's some kind of issue going on, then we can help you with that. But... beyond that, we can probably determine if they are cheating, or at least get evidence to indicate that there might be some additional suspicions. No guarantees.
Right. Neil Custer joining us, President and CEO of the Custer Agency, Private Investigation, as we move along at 580KIDO. Just looking over this article yesterday, what are the digital investigation techniques that you use? I mean, you're talking about like... finding incriminating text, child pornography on people's phones?
Yes, not only phones, but tablets, laptops, computers, anything like that that might give evidence. If a person is physically cheating, they're probably communicating with that person via one of those media in some way. And so... if we're able to examine a device to determine that there is communication back and forth going on that might lead one to believe that there is something going on, then that helps. Oftentimes it short stops any other kind of the old traditional gumshoe sleuthing, hiding behind the bushes, watching for something to happen. Whereas the digital world has allowed us to examine those kinds of things to determine if there is something going on.
How pathetic is our own personal security when it comes to our electronic devices based on your experience, sir?
Well, most people are fairly naive or dismiss the fact that there is significant vulnerabilities with our use of particularly our smartphones today. It used to be just not that many years ago where our computer was where we kept everything.
Computer at work, if you
right,
were, or at
right.
home, it was fixed.
That's right. And now we carry it with us in our pocket, very small and mobile. So much of our communication goes on through that, through text messages, emails, et cetera, or pictures, for that matter. It's not uncommon to see... pictures being sent back and forth of various parts.
So people really do send naughty text messages, and some people do the Brett Favre where they send pictures of private parts.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that, unfortunately, has become more prevalent with our younger generation, our children even in high school, of sending sexually explicit pictures back and forth of themselves. And I've worked with a lot of parents on that to determine if that's happening and if they, approve of that or not. And then I've also worked with some law firms on that where a juvenile has been accused of doing that and even having possession of child pornography based on, even though both were underage, it still is illegal to possess that kind of information.
That's not only troubling, but we talk about the changing morality of children today, and they see nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I think there are some that see nothing wrong with that. I think everybody is still adjusting to the digital age and how that has impacted just our ability to communicate. And there's a sense of anonymity, I guess, so to a certain degree, when you communicate back and forth via that. There's a false sense of anonymity, if you will.
580-KIDO as we continue on. You're right about that, and that's what we're here to discuss. By the way, if you have a question, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller with Neil Custer, Custer Agency. Is it possible to keep secrets these days? I mean, we're addicted to these phones. It really is the phone just one big giant GPS that if, you know, I want to keep track of someone, I can.
Yeah, I mean, under some circumstances, you can. If a person's extremely careful and follows certain guidelines, then I think you can keep that maintain some anonymity that you wouldn't otherwise be able to by, you know, making sure your software is upgraded, making sure you don't put any extraneous apps on your phone, make sure you vet those apps to make sure that they're from a secure site. So there's just a lot of things that you can do to help protect yourself. You can encrypt your data on your phone. But still, if you're communicating over an unsecured Wi-Fi, for example, there theoretically could be somebody there that's intercepting your information.
Now, I read when Glenn Greenwald and that young lady interviewed Snowden that they actually put their phones, first of all, they did the old take out the battery, and you can't do it with an iPhone, but they put their phones in the refrigerator. That was supposedly to block the signals and such. For people that maybe want some privacy, besides trying to deep freeze their phones, what do you do? Do you take your battery out? If you have an iPhone, what do you do? Or are those just myths?
Well, like I said, there are some steps that you can take. I mean, we in the forensic business of examining, one of the first things we'll do is to put the phone in a Faraday bag. And a Faraday bag basically does the same thing. It blocks the signal. So there's nothing can happen. The signal can't get through to the phone, so it can't get out and nothing can get in. Now, nobody's going to carry a Faraday bag along with them.
I was just thinking about that.
In everyday life, but I think using some of the things that I mentioned, encryption, that type of thing, being careful, knowing when to use your phone and when not to use it, what to say over your phone and do over your phone. The biggest problem is if you've got something to hide, don't be talking about it on your phone. Don't be texting about it. Don't put it on the Facebook, LinkedIn, any of those kind of things. If you don't want it, post it eventually out to the world. There are numerous stories of people who have posted questionable pictures or text who have, it's basically out there forever.
It is. Well, which brings us to the Donald Sterling case. It also brings us to some other things. Can you hang on for a minute?
You bet.
All right. Much more coming up here at 580-KIDO. By the way, we want to open this up to you. So if you have a question about your phone, your home security, your own life, what other issues do you cover?
Well, mainly the forensic side of information security. I mean, not only in businesses, but in your personal life and at home. I think that's and the physical security. We do handle a full range of security and the investigative issues, like you said, everything from embezzlements to frauds.
So you'd take some questions from the folks.
Absolutely.
580-5436. Neil Custer joining us, the president and CEO of the Custer Agency. A little something different today, food for your brain. We'd love to hear from you and your questions concerning security, cybersecurity, and all the things that Mr. Custer has talked
about. Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Stay up all night.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Neil Custer joining us, president, CEO of the Custer Agency, talking private investigation tips here, what it's like to be a private investigator. Why'd you choose this business?
Well, I spent several years in law enforcement and in corporate security, and it was just I got tired of the travel and started my own business and about 20 years ago, and have been in it ever since.
Isn't it dangerous?
No. There are some cases that require us to be armed, but we very seldom run into a situation that we can't talk ourselves out of.
You were talking to me off the air about what you do if you meet somebody in your life.
Right. Of course, it's not uncommon these days to meet people over the internet and or in person, whatever the case may be. And I recommend very strongly that you have them do a background check on them. Have somebody do a background check to make sure that they're really who they say they are and there's nothing lurking in their background that might come up, such as, somebody that's a pedophile that's abused children in the past. If you've got children, and I strongly suggest, checking them out.
You know, you bring up a good point because there are so many people with kids and then they start dating, and some people live with people even though they're not married and they have kids in the household.
Right. And like I said, it's worth the investment to know who you're with. We would like to believe that all relationships are based on honesty and full disclosure, but we know that's not the case.
Well, let's talk a little bit on an uncomfortable topic here at 580KIDO, because, Mr. Custer, you and I have talked about this off the air here just moments ago, and the problem of pedophiles in our society today.
Yes, it's more prevalent than anybody would want to believe. We've had a couple of situations recently where we've done background checks and found out the person that was in the new relationship, the person that had recently gotten out of prison for 25 years for molesting his grandchildren before, and he was in a new relationship that had some children, and he was definitely showing some signs of grooming those children, for example, giving them gifts and things to ingratiate himself to them, so he could possibly further his molestation of those kids.
Are there tips that parents can get from you now here at 580KIDO that if their child starts acting a certain way, that could be cause that they are being molested?
Yes, and I'm not really equipped to give all of those psychological signs. One of the signs is if the term is grooming, if they're giving them lavish gifts or doing things that seem out of the norm, then that person's behavior should be questioned. If there's any significant change in the child's behavior, they're having a hard time sleeping, they're having nightmares, they're having trouble in school, they're showing signs like that, talk to a counselor and determine if there's some explanation for this behavior. But if there is somebody new introduced into their lives, then I would definitely do a background check on them to make sure that there's nothing there. And that's no guarantees that there is going to be something there or that you're going to be able to find it if there is. But it's recommended that I recommend strongly that be done.
I think people fear hiring somebody for a background check because they feel that what happens if that person finds out that they've been checked out?
Well, two things. First of all,
what happens if you get discovered in the bushes?
Well, a background check is mainly one that's not going to come back to the individual. It's what do they look like on paper? Criminal record, civil record, those kinds of things. There's very little risk of getting back to that person. I always say, well, if the person has nothing to hide, what's the problem? They shouldn't have a problem with that. In fact, I encourage them to say, tell them right out front, I'm going to do a background check. I think it's just a prudent thing for an adult to do.
Anything else you'd like to share with us today?
Oh, nothing that comes to mind other than, you know, if you have concerns, like I said, in a relationship, just make sure you check them out. I think you owe it to yourself and to your children to do that.
What's your phone number if people want to get a hold of you?
It's 208-562-0200.
Now, we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
And welcome once again, 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our great friend Dave Burnett with us. And Dave, good to be back with the Manly Man segment.
Well, welcome back to town.
A lot of people always kind of figure out when we don't have the Manly Man segment. Usually that means I'm out of town. Those people that have listened to the program for a while. So I had a chance to go to Reno for a couple days. And that was interesting. Dave Petzl loves the Reno. It was interesting. I did go to Virginia City and check that out. But,
oh, yeah. You know, love Virginia City.
I've missed so much work. And I'm telling you, you know, the idea of vacations, I don't know why people take them. I don't know, you know, and this is something that Dave Burnett and I talk about off the air all the time.
We argue about it. You don't ever want to take a break. And I say, you need to take a break once in a while. Go eat your Snickers bar and clear your head.
Well, and hello to security guard Mike, Big Mike, Rebecca, Noland, the Early Morning Risers Club. Hello. Thank you all for joining us. Our friend who drives the taxi cab, who's... wife is associated with the George Norrie Show, John Bradley, the gang's all here. I think I named everybody that listens to this segment.
Pretty much had a nail there.
Gene from CUNA. Yeah, the idea of taking vacation. You know, I have a thing against taking vacations because you have to come back. And then you get used to having a good time. You get used to sleeping in. And then all of a sudden, it's a system shock to you. So my philosophy of life is don't take vacations. Just enjoy the misery. Enjoy the consistent joy or misery of your job, folks. What's wrong with that, Dave Burnett?
Can I have your vacation time?
You sure?
All right, we'll let Sherry know in bookkeeping. I get your vacation. In fact, Ray, and I will split it.
Well, maybe. Who's going to work with me then?
Yeah, we'll find somebody.
Now, this is strange. My login to NextGen doesn't work now.
What is that?
You take a vacation.
You're entering it wrong.
No. Why do you always assume that I do it wrong?
Because I have been told by our chief engineers that computers never lie.
Yeah, so I can't get into my computer. All right, that's great. All right, 580KIDO, we continue on. We'll try that again. Kevin, password. See, folks, this is why you shouldn't go on vacation.
They How do you spell jabroni?
They lock you out of your computer. So
nobody's even been in that room.
For some reason, I can't get in. So there we have it. See, this proves my point precisely. Don't go anywhere because someone will come in and, do that. The last time they did it, there was like 7 Kevins on the staff, and they just inadvertently did that. Did I spell my name right? Yeah, I did. Maybe let's try capital K.
Stop it.
Stop it. Well, what do you got? Fixed. Oh, it was a capital K. Who would have thought?
See, you're much like the student who forgets their locker combination when they go on Christmas break and have to go back into the office and say, please, ma'am, may I have my combination? And they'll go again. Not that that ever happened to me, but I'm just saying it did happen to some students.
It sounds like the voice of experience.
Yeah, it was. And the thing is, I got a weird thing with numbers. I can remember numbers.
Really?
But my locker combination at school, I had to go into the office after every long break and get it again.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's compelling stuff.
I can remember phone numbers from being a kid.
Right.
But I couldn't remember my locker number.
I see. Well, I don't know how we've missed so much here. So what would you like to talk about?
Well, let's see. Bo Bergdahl arrived in Texas late last night, flown in from Germany. So he made his way back to the United States, and there are some medias going, and he's not going to do any public appearances. Well, of course he's not. It's not going to happen as he's reintroduced back into family, and I assume this is probably where family will get a chance to go see him. So we know in Germany they did not, but we're assuming that. But yeah, so Bo is back in Texas.
Right.
A lot of people fatigued with that story. Another big story that's kind of hit the wires. In fact, I think we have a story up at 580kido.com, and that would be the fact Raul Labrador's name is being tossed around to take a higher position in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there.
That is such a bogus story. Dan Popke should be ashamed of himself for writing it. I heard it on Fox News yesterday, front page of the paper, along with 580kido.com, and I think it's so bogus.
It's on Politico, also is another one that's picked up on it.
Yeah.
They're writing about it.
I mean, he's a junior congressman. He's a nice man, but as far as anything else goes, he's not. Kevin McCarthy is going to have it now. But, I mean, Congressman Labrador has really made his name in Washington by being the Tea Party guy, and let's face it, the Tea Party supported him, but he's not a member of the Tea Party caucus here or at, I don't even think he's a member of the Tea Party Boise. So he's a Tea Party guy, but he's not a member of the Tea Party caucus. He all of a sudden is, his name is being floated around, what, of his 4 years in Congress? That's quite an accomplishment. And again, Kevin McCarthy has it. Pete Sessions has canceled it out. And I'm going, so why are they running with this? Well, obviously, because somebody at Politico, one of these guys, they know Labrador, they go, let's just throw his name in. But, I mean, you have to have leadership to do this. You have to have gravitas. You have to be there for a while. And you can't be one of the guys that orchestrated the coup that didn't happen against Boehner how many years ago? You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's fascinating that everybody's running with it. I urge you to check out that story on 580kido.com to get a different perspective on it. But really, I you know, because it's funny, and I'll tell you a secret here at 580KIDO. I still have some contacts in and around Washington and in and around his staff, and people are rumoring, oh, he's going to make a run for leadership. And people here have talked about it, and I'm going, I mean, that would be like going into the NFL and, you know, unseating Peyton Manning. Well, if you're Andrew Luck, I don't think he's Andrew Luck.
Time will tell, I guess.
Well, I mean, what do you think?
I think probably he would be an attractive candidate to have the name out there, perceived as conservative, Hispanic origin. I think his name would be one that would be tossed around. Would he get the position? Probably not.
Well,
but just because of all of the, as he looks on paper, probably a name that would be tossed around.
Yeah, why would ethnicity count?
Are you kidding me? Really? In the world we live in today?
Not in my world.
I know, and you live in a totally bizarre world.
In America.
In the world we live in today.
I don't believe you reward people based on their ethnicity. I think you reward them based on their merit. What's wrong with that?
That's not the way it works anymore. You can sit and beat your horse with a buggy whip, but that's not the way it works in this world anymore, Kevin.
Okay, well, keep going.
I'm just saying, the way it works... if you have some sort of ethnicity in your background, you've got a little step up when it comes to the media and the way the world thinks right now. If you are female, I mean, that's what it'll be championed for Hillary Clinton, the first female president. That will be one of the things that will be championed. And
I'm still looking for it. I'm still looking for you to prove your point.
Well, we have a president who's in office right now. And one of the things, remember, everybody, he'll be our first African-American president, and people championed that. And I think there was a lot of people that voted specifically for that reason, even though now you're told you're a hater, but there are people that voted that way. I'm just saying that that is always something now that is looked at. I mean, if you were to put together the ideal Republican ticket for the president, it's somebody with Hispanic background, perhaps a female for vice president or a minority in there, because it is looked upon by the media with better eyes. You take an old white conservative.
Now
let me finish.
If
you take an old white conservative gray-headed man, not going to be as easy to get him elected. Appearance plays a lot into it now.
Right, but he
doesn't.
No,
don't say right and then disagree with me.
I do disagree with you. I think it's totally absurd that we would sit back and all of a sudden reward somebody And Congressman Labrador wouldn't want to be about that. He'd get on his merit. That guy has earned everything that he's had. But to sit there and say that he's going to be number two in the House is preposterous. And then it's funny, I read the article, one of the articles, and they're quoting, you know, it's like, can we get anybody new? There's Jim Weatherby. Well, you know, when these young guys, you don't know what they're doing. And I'm like, huh? That's political analysis? My goodness gracious. And by the way, you know, let's end the hypocrisy. Cantor backed Vaughn Ward. And then Cantor came to town. We had the exclusive interview with him. But, I mean, let's let the bell out of the ball here. Congressman Labrador better watch his step, because you can say what happened to Eric Cantor couldn't happen to him here. He gets too friendly with the immigration deal. He's done. And I know what people are saying. Glenn Beck on Sean Hannity yesterday, oh, it's not about immigration. It's all about amnesty. People are tired of out of touch politicians. And it's great that we have the love fest yesterday between Beck and Hannity. By the way, it's funny because Beck used to make fun of Hannity when he first came on the air. And now they're buddies. And, you know, it's between that and Sean talking about dog castration yesterday. And I'm thinking to myself, it is about amnesty. It is about Eric Holder being out, or Eric Cantor being out of touch. And I think that could happen here. The difference between here and everywhere else is Congressman Labrador doesn't have the friends that Mike Simpson does. What would have happened if Mike Simpson and Brian Smith had the same amount of money? You've been around a long time. Do you think that race would have been closer?
If the money was the same?
The money was the same.
Yeah. It would have been closer. Money would have made a difference.
I think money did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they have the guy going, that's got to be one of the best ads ever. Yeah, I just grabbed the envelopes full of cash and I gave them to Mike. Or I gave them to Brian Smith. What a hit job that was. But I digress here at 580 KIDO. I just think that, you know, and I've been wrong before, I just can't see Congressman Labrador moving up in leadership. If it does, again, his historic, unprecedented rise to power.
So why do you think he's picked to be on the Sunday morning talking show so much, Kevin?
As I predicted, and you might catch me on this one, Dave, at 580 KIDO, as I predicted, even before the primary, and there's a little history with Congressman Labrador and I. You remember that. Who backed Congressman Labrador more than anybody else?
You waiting for me to answer that?
Mm-hmm.
I believe you were in his camp. I mean, you were a strong, you know, proponent.
Who was his biggest supporter publicly? Mm-hmm. It would be me. That's not a Dan Popke has documented that in the Statesman. I did appearances for him. I supported him.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we thought we would have access to him, and that didn't happen. And look, we think he's a great guy. We wish him well. He can move on with his life. But I did predict when he was an unknown guy, when he came up to me and introduced himself at the group that, the Freedom Foundation, I said, if you win, you'll be the belle of the ball. You could ask Phil Hardy about this. When Phil Hardy was working for him, I go, he's conservative, he's young, and he's from Idaho. And his ethnicity plays into it. I know how the press works.
Whoa. Right. You just told me that is all wrong.
It is wrong.
Gotcha.
It is wrong.
I didn't say it was right or wrong.
Right,
it's the way it is.
Well, it's the way it is for the press. A, that doesn't mean it's right, and B, that doesn't mean the Republican Party has to do it. It's the same argument that the Republican Party says, oh, well, we have to pass pro-amnesty because they're going to vote for us. No, they don't vote for us because they come from big government states that have a huge amount of social programs. I mean, it's not about humanitarianism, the amnesty issue. It's about the rush for votes. But back to Congressman Labrador, I go, look, he's got this going. Now, did I think that his first week after election he'd be on Meet the Press? No. And by the way, it's funny, Fox News really doesn't touch him either. It's usually the liberal MSNBC, the liberal NBC. And he doesn't have a problem going on those programs. But as I said at 580KIDO, I think it's great that he can give David Gregory an hour. It's unfortunate that he can't give 580 KIDO.
Kevin Miller.
An hour.
Let me ask you this. Since when is it politicians have done something because it's either right or wrong? How long has it been?
Well,
how long has it been, Kevin Miller?
As you would say, I live in my kook world then. You look, you're having me bash myself this morning.
That's easier that way. That way my fists don't get bloodied.
No.
I have help.
No, you are correct on that. You are totally correct on that.
So we've come back to the fact that ethnicity does play favor to the media.
To the media.
And whether it's right or wrong, I don't say that it is right or wrong. That's just the way it is.
Right.
I would rather it be because of somebody's principles and how they stand. And we also know that it's been a long time since politicians do anything because it's either right or wrong. Doesn't happen very often anymore.
I know. I'm with you. I just wish that were the case. But, look, I could go on and on, but it really doesn't make any sense. I mean, we've got Meridian seeks more money. We've got something that I can't read. We've got Labrador number two. The Iraqi militants are back. Bo's back. And the love fest between Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck exclusively last night on 580 KIDO.
I think they said when Sean Hannity came on, Glenn Beck made fun of him. Didn't they come on at the same time?
You weren't listening.
Oh, what did you say?
I said they came on and they were talking about how they love each other and all this. Yeah. And I go, yeah, the reason why there's stress between them is because Beck used to make fun of Sean when he first came on the air.
They came on at the same time, I thought.
No, his radio show.
Yeah, I thought Beck always used to both right. started the day after 9/11.
Well, it was a must clear on Clear Channel stations. We didn't have a choice.
Oh.
And Sean Hannity was on another network, and we were prohibited from that. Live clears, I remember that. Number one. Number two, Beck used to make fun of Sean Hannity on his air. I'm never going to be a guy that talks politics and blah, 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 blah. I remember. And then he would throw up in the wastebasket and all this. It's a different show now than what it was back in the day.
Maybe they met and became friends.
No, I'm just saying that. Yeah, but it goes deeper than that. Beck used to go on with Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity do not like each other. That's a well-known fact. And then it was funny because then Beck goes on Hannity's show last night. I'm going, I wonder what O'Reilly thinks. See, vacations are overrated. You don't need a life. You can follow the adventures of these folks all the time.
Kevin, traffic now as you're coming out of Candy.
Kevin Miller in the morning. You're listening to 580 KIDO. Serving.